This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is live in New Jersey. Visit superbook.com for all the latest odds and promotions. Have a problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The New York Mets have been playing great baseball. They lead the National League East, about to start a homestand against the Phillies, and then the Nationals come into town. And we're so fortunate that Mets manager Buck Showalter joins us now on the show. Buck, it's Michael and Don. How you doing today?
Michael and Don, how are we doing? How's everybody?
We're doing great. You think you're going to get this game in?
Sure. We can't have any more doubleheaders. Believe me. Doubleheaders are a killer. I love when people go, what did you do on your day off yesterday? You had a rain out. I mean, you're here at 8 or 9 o'clock. You might as well. And it's a killer for your pitching staff and your bullpen. You pay the piper. So, you know, tell us when to play. We'll play.
Now, I have to ask you about Jankowski. So we saw the new – yeah, I do. I want to. I want to know about
it. Curious when.
Where did he hurt himself, Buck? And, I mean, how much of a blow is this? Because he's been a real, real good player for you.
Yeah, he's served a great role for us. It was a good, great sign by our front office and Billy Upper. He kind of fits who, you know, what we needed in that spot and kind of who we wanted to be in that role. But he was diving for a ball in the last inning and left finger, ring finger on his glove hand, just got caught in an awkward position. I knew when I talked to him, he came in and took an at bat. That tells you the type of kid he is. And, I know, talking to him about the runway, he said, I think it's Velcro or the ligament. And, you know, the first x-ray, you know, there's like three different levels. You take some at the ballpark, and that's kind of inconclusive. And we took another one today. And, you know, he had surgery, had a pin inserted, and it's not, if it's when, he'll be back and he'll rejoin us.
And how's McNeil?
Good, considering, you know, if he hadn't been leading off there, Don, I'd probably might even kept him in the game, but I just didn't like the look on his face and kind of where that game was. And it just wasn't worth it, but, you know, what a play, but a little scary moment. And it's a long way from the dugout for an old guy to get out to.
You know, Buck, while we're on that subject, we had Aaron Boone on yesterday, and we talk about analytically resting players, not wanting them to get hurt. But you look at yesterday, it's a blowout game. McNeil dives for a ball. I believe it was 9-0 at the time. Jankowski at 9-3, last inning, diving for a ball. I mean, I like that. But as a manager, do you look at that and, hey, you want to lose the battle to win the war? Or do you appreciate that effort even in games that have already been decided?
Well, those two things are different. We're getting ready to get Mac out of the game. I think it was the third or fourth inning, maybe before that. And Jankowski was the guy that went in for him.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, we share the load around. We push it around. We're very proud of, you know, our medical team and everything and all the different things they make me aware of. And we certainly keep that in mind. We also had, I think, 8 off days because of all the rainouts, of all the and some of the off days. And, you know, I get it after every game, you know, the running, you know, how much they've really extended. So we've been able, fortunately, the roster that we've assembled, we've been able to move the load around, and we'll continue to do that to try to keep our guys on the field.
I thought it was a great exchange between you and Mark Canha in that game that you guys were losing 9-0, and you said to him, you know, now I'd be start to take guys out, but it's hard with this team. And the previous night, you guys came back from a big deficit, almost won that game. This team, just from the outside looking in, and you're inside, Buck, it just seems like it has that something that it's hard to quantify. It doesn't give up. It's kind of gritty. It's gutty. Are you sensing the same thing?
Yeah, you know, we've played like 28% of our games, and we're barely over the quarter mark. And, you know, we have a lot of regular irregulars. You know, Mike, when you talk about taking guys out of the game, like, what are you telling a Guillerme or a Jankowski or a J.D. Davis or a Dom Smith? I mean, we look at them as regular players. You know, this team needs them to do things, and they're going to be called on, and we're going to make use of their skills. So, you know, there's a certain we element that our guys have really embraced, And, you know, the challenge is when things, like they always do, get a little sideways for periods of time, are you going to let anything separate you? You know, there's so many things, you know, if something's trying to separate you, you just walk away from it. I wish it was that simple. But, you know, we just don't want those things to be self-inflicted. You know, there's nothing worse for a club than having to fight for an unjust cause. Something somebody does or creates that you have to support because he's a teammate, but you know that they're wrong, and that's what you try to stay away from.
Where do we, last time we talked to you, you know, Dom was really struggling. Where is he at right now, do you think?
He's good. You know, Dom's going to be a contributor for us. I mean, he's a great defender. He's a good teammate. You know, we've got a good group of people. You know, there are a lot of baseball players here, and they enjoy the competition. They enjoy supporting each other, and I think they don't want to let each other down. And, you know, they care about what their teammates think and what the fans think, and they want to do things that people are proud of. And this is hard. These are the best players in the world. It's hard to win a Major League Baseball game over 9 innings. People think it's just – and that's why we play the games. They're not played on paper. You know, there's things happen every game where I go, wow, I haven't seen that before. That's interesting. And things you didn't see coming. The game gets off script a lot. And the teleprompter breaks. Then what are you going to do? And that's usually the type of human beings that you've been able to surround yourself with. And, you know, we've got a good group, and we'll see if we're good enough.
Now, Buck, do you have to fight yourself and also keep it from the team feeling this way? DeGrom, Scherzer, McGill, May, do you have to fight woe is me?
No, I don't. I actually think, you know, coaches and I talk about it, and, you know, we get a chance to meet once every 3 days at dancing with the club. It's kind of, this is what you do. This is what, you know, this is your chance to shine, whether it be a coach, a manager, a trainer, or a player. I mean, you know, life's not that rosy where everything lines up. Nobody wants to hear about your travel woes or what time you got in. We all have those tales of woe. I mean, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. I'll trade places with you if you think it's tough. So having someone hurt, you know, it's giving somebody else an opportunity. And it's not when. I mean, it's not if. It's when we get these guys back. And, you know, what usually happens, Mike and Don, is somebody else goes down. I mean, it's not a normal thing to do your body for 7 months, 7 days a week. You're going to have those days. You know, it's not like Mike. Michael, you're on point every time you go on the air. You never miss a beat on anything. Where's your energy level?
It's irritating.
Right.
But
it's also tough.
Something that separates you. You know, it's a chance to separate yourself. And they certainly don't want to hear their manager talking about, woe is me. And it doesn't happen back here. You know, there's enough challenges on the field without creating some self-inflicted ones.
What did you know about Pete Alonso before you got here? And how special a player is he? And can he be someone that can sustain this kind of level the rest of the year?
I don't want to say overthink it, but he likes baseball. He likes being a part of the Mets organization. He likes, he's very sincere. What you see, I mean, Pete's not walking around trying to put on airs or have some filter. He cares about his teammates, and he's a good player. I mean, when he collides with the ball, special things happen, and he's fun to watch. And he's the same guy every day. And that's really hard to do in this job. And we have a lot of guys that we know what we're going to get from every day. Is so-and-so moody today? Is so-and-so we got to tiptoe around? We don't, you know, our guys, you know, you're not that important and you're not that, you know, don't take yourself too seriously is kind of the way they go about it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I thought it was so cool, Buck, the way your team embraced you on your birthday, you know, the thing with the piñata. I can't believe that you trusted someone enough to put a blindfold on. You wouldn't trust me.
It was Escobar. That's different. It was Escobar.
He's different that way?
Oh, I can. He's trustworthy because he had just gotten his 10th year in the big leagues. He was so excited that he had a list of the Venezuelan players with 10 years in the big leagues, and to join that list, it was a huge thing for him. We had a big celebration about it. And, Mike, I'm glad that's over. I don't think I've ever been so happy to see a birthday go in a lot of ways. But I think they realized that I may not be around very much longer, so they had to at least get it out of the way.
Well, wait. As a manager in life, stop that.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Both.
Come on, Tony La Russa is 77.
Mike,
he's managing.
We ain't getting out of this alive.
None of us do.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't think it's happening today.
No, we none of us should quit taking it. We should all quit taking ourselves so seriously. You know?
Well, on that note, were you disappointed that Lindor didn't spend the money on Shakira?
We didn't spend the money on her. Oh,
because they were going to get her at the party. Yeah. She would have cost a certain amount of money for the appearance, and they went to Lindor, and he said no.
You're talking about the birthday?
Yeah.
The birthday they were going to try to get.
Well, this is news to me. Are you kidding me? Wait,
oh, you didn't hear that?
Yeah. The players wanted to get Shakira, and then they asked Lindor. He said, no, I'm not paying.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
What is it that – okay, now I'm in. No, I just think she's very talented. She can sing. My gosh, her husband's one of the best soccer players in the world.
But see, I know you almost 40 years, and I never knew you liked Shakira. When did this start? What happened?
I'm a talent, like Drake. Extremely talented. Eminem,
wow.
Talented. Can we keep going?
I mean, yes. Mike, desperately.
Broaden your horizons here.
I'm going to let you in on a little
one
secret.
Thing I have to know.
Go ahead.
No, I have to. I have to know what they're listening to and what's going on in their world. And what I usually find out is, okay, that makes a lot of sense. These people are pretty talented. What were you going to say?
Here's what I want you to know, and this is going to upset you, so don't blame me. Don LaGreca, my co-host, hates the Andy Griffith Show. Hates it. Doesn't see why anybody would like it.
Uh-huh.
But I told him, you love it, and I love it, and he doesn't get it.
Well, give me an idea of what kind of show he likes, and then it paints a different picture.
All right, my two favorite all-time shows are MASH and Mary Tyler Moore.
Now, were they sleeping in separate beds?
No, that was the Dick Van Dyke show.
Dick Van Dyke and I Love Lucy.
Yeah, okay, and rightfully so. All right. MASH, I was a big MASH fan. Kind of depressing sometimes, but yeah.
I just felt that when I was a kid, when the Andy Griffith Show would come on, I'd hear that whistle. I was out, and I loved everything. The many loves of Dobie Gillis, Gilligan's Island. I didn't feel like in that time of the '60s there was a lot of good television writing.
Tell me you didn't like Gilligan's Island.
Come on, that was an awful show. They took a knee on the theme song. They couldn't even say Island here on Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island was awful. It was awful. Okay.
Thank
you. Off the island. Come on.
I know. The Harlem Globetrotters can show up, but they can't figure out a way to get off the island. All right, I'll play along. See, that's what I'm talking about. So we can find some common ground.
Now, let me ask you this.
I get it. It's not for everybody. I grew up there. That's where I grew up. That's why.
And I get that.
With my father.
I can understand that.
Now, John Heyman reporting some positive news on Jacob deGrom. There's dialogue between the organization and Jacob, and it looks like he could be back by the end of June. You guys have not wanted to put a timetable on it, but do you think that's realistic, maybe getting back deGrom by the end of June?
You're right, Mike. The organization doesn't want to put a timetable on it. And believe me, John knows about stuff usually before I do, so I just go along with what John's saying.
So, now, from how, what, Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
How do you feel about Scherzer? How's he coming along?
Good. I talked to him yesterday. Went through some family virus. Missed one day, but he's actually getting where he can sneeze and do some things without feeling any pain. So he's making some strides forward, and we'll get him back at some point. The question is, what do we do in the meantime?
Right.
Feel sorry for ourselves?
And that's the question, too, because, like you said, these doubleheaders are killer, and you're trying to piece together things with the bullpen. Is this a sustainable, Buck, or do you think that maybe you might need another arm while you wait for these two guys to come back?
Well, is it sustainable? I mean, what I'm supposed to say? No, it's not. It's all stop the wheel. Don't play any more games till we get everybody back. That doesn't work that way. Is it sustainable? Why not? If I was a minor league pitcher for us or an outfielder or whatever, I'd go, man, this is great. I get a chance to roll with it. And I'm not, you know, the stuff that our ownership and Billy have done for this club, last thing I'm going to do is say this and that, whatever. My job is to take what we've got and it's really good. Okay, so, you know, our job is to figure it out, not just me, but the players. So that's sometimes stay focused on what the job at hand is.
Now, obviously, you did your research on all the players before you, you know, went to spring training. Is there anybody, Buck, that has surprised you so pleasantly that you go, wow, he's a lot better than I thought he was going to be?
Well, Mike, I couldn't tell you that, if that's the case. And there might actually be one of them in the room there listening to this. Yeah, of course I do. But I'm not going to broadcast that. I'm happy with the strength of our farm system. We've got 5 picks in the first 100 picks this year. I think it's the first time in Mets history. So we got a chance to take a good farm system and make it a lot better here quickly.
It seems like you have a really good.
I love that.
That was a great dancing, Buck. It seems like you have a great relationship with Lindor, who very quietly I think is having a really good year. And is projected to have, you know, really outstanding numbers. Well, what are your thoughts on the way he's played and what he's contributed?
Yeah, it's funny, Mike. You said on the plane night before last, I was sitting there and I started doing our leaders in each category, and it hit me. Not that I didn't see it. How many? He's either first or second in just about all of our categories. And then, you know, a week or so ago, I was answering questions about Lindor, and he gets it. He gets it. You know that he's going to be scrutinized because. And, you know, it's funny, the biggest thing, he was upset that he had a couple of errors that he felt like he shouldn't have made. It's just a matter of getting his feet moving a little bit. But this guy cares. He's a baseball gym rat. He's one of those guys that you say any questions, he puts his hand up, you go, uh-oh, you better be ready. Because he's into the game almost to a fault. Mm. Every once in a while, I want to go, hey, see it and hit it. You're talented. Let it play. But and watching him go down the line 90 feet, effort. You know, it never goes into a slump with him.
I speculated on the air the other day. We were talking specifically about you and how great you've been this year. And I said, I wonder if the time away from the game helped you become a better manager. Do you think it did?
God, I hope so. I mean, we all learned, you know what, I shouldn't do that again. I learned that, you know, I hurt somebody's feelings in the second grade. I never did it again in the third grade. I mean, I hope we all learn from things and get better and realize that, you know, just don't take ourselves too seriously. None of us are that busy. Oh, you know, it's kind of like autographs. When you got to worry is when they quit asking. So I don't know. I think it's about what the players need. I have fun trying to, you know, they keep me young and you just keep trying to serve their needs and see every day you wake up and how can you make their path a little easier and don't do the things that I did. I made those same mistakes. Here's where that ended, where you're going right now. Don't do it.
My 60th birthday really bothered me. How about your 66? Did it bother you?
No, you know what? Oh, that's Route 66, the way I look at it. That road's still going. So, you know, 20 didn't get me. 30 didn't get me. 40 was the one. I went, oh, my God. 50, 60, there's numbers. I'm trying to, you know, just trying to make people path a little easier and smell the roses after a good game, a really good game. I'd stop before I go up the stairs because that's about as long as you get to enjoy it. And then you're on to the next day, trying to hold on to that feeling. So it's an honor every day to be allowed to come in there. They allow you to coach them and manage them. You know, this thing will work and survive without you very quickly.
Well, you don't need me to tell you this. What an unbelievable job you and Billy have done with this team. I know Met fans are thrilled. They've been waiting for something like this. So I thank you for coming on, and I'm glad that we've learned that we don't get out of this alive.
Yeah, well, shocker. And hey, Billy, the team last year with Louis, they were good last year for a long period of time, too. And by the way, the Yankees got a really good man over there in him. I wish I could have got to him before he went. I'd have tried to keep him here in some capacity. But anyway, I was impressed. But this was a good team for a long time last year, so we got something to prove to our fans as we go forward. So I appreciate you guys having me. Take care.
Thanks so much, Buck.
Thanks, Buck. Have a good weekend.
God, he's like you.
What do you mean?
Well, he pulled him. Maybe it's time for me to go, almost. Right?
Yep. He's great.
They didn't celebrate his 66th birthday because they didn't think they'd get another chance to. That was morbid.
We're both dark. What can you do?
But that is dark.
I know. It's hard not to be dark when you know how this ends.
But we know how it ends.
It's only people with unbelievable, unbridled optimism that can actually go through life smiling because it doesn't end well.
No,
it never ends well.
I get that. But that it's all also overwhelming pessimism to think that it's tomorrow. So he thinks his teammates, so let's throw a party for Buck because this might be our last shot. This might be his last birthday.
Well, I mean, at 66, he's not buying green bananas. That's what he's saying.
No, I think at 66, you could buy some green bananas. You should appreciate that tomorrow's not promised to anybody, but to actually think that and to celebrate the birthday thinking it could be your last one, that's K-level.
Admit it, you love him.
Oh, love doesn't even describe it. No.
You think he's yummy. I know it. I can tell.
Well, no, I don't want to make it awkward. I'm just saying is he a great manager? Yes. So I love him from the standpoint that he makes this team better. But also, he's a really good guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. He's an easy guy to root for. I think both these managers in town are.
They really are.
I mean, the back-to-back days, we had an interview with managers, a high-stress level position. You know, both teams have expectations through the roof, and we were able to have fun and laugh, ask questions, have back and forth without any kind of problems and fun stuff, and that's easy to root for. Buck has always been easy to root for, and now he's on my team.
Now you could really root for him.
That's right.
I'm glad he's making you happy.
Well, I'm happy. What's there not to be happy about? There's an adult in the room.
I recommended him to the Mets to be their manager. I'm just glad I had something to do with it. I did it right on the show. I brought him up first. And by the way, I'm the first one who brought up Boone's name. Remember we had Boone on after the playoffs, and I said, well, why don't you go for Yankee manager? Why don't they consider you? Nobody even brought it up.
No, you're the man. You nicknamed Donnie Baseball. You were the one that said DeGrom was going to be great. I mean, the list goes on and on.
This is off the top of my head.
Rangers
couldn't win unless Dable went to Carolina, and he didn't, they lost.
You know what?
That's true. Listen, you love Buck. You're getting emotional.
he didn't get the offer yet.
Calm down.
Where was Peter when Buck Showalter drops a Drake?
That's right.
Excuse me?
So he doesn't like Gilligan's Island just like you.
He knows bad writing when he sees it. and he just admitted to the whole Mayberry thing because that's where he was from, so he felt like kinship to the ship.
Wait a second. There is really a Mount Pilot in North Carolina, but he's from Pensacola. He's from a similar area.
That's what he said. He just felt like that was home to him. So that was comforting to him. He knew the writing was garbage. He knew that it was 30 minutes of hell.
No,
but it was something that he kind of felt comfortable with.
The writing was not garbage. He didn't say that. And not garbage. It taught you a lesson.
But then we came together. We agreed on MASH. He couldn't kill me for my MASH and Mary Tyler Moore. He wanted to. He couldn't because those are quality shows. And we all know. What was it? Sherman Schwartz? What was his name? The guy that...
Sherwood Schwartz, I think.
Yeah, he knew it was garbage what he was doing.
Yeah,
but they paid him for it, and then he realized, I can't believe they're paying me for this. I'm going to put less time into it.
Wow.
And it was absolute garbage.
Yeah,
Gilligan's Island,
to this day.
Honestly, with an iPhone and cardboard paper, I could have made a better show.
You're crazy.
Am I?
It's iconic. I never asked you this on the air. Ginger or Marianne?
Oh, Marianne's always the answer.
I think you're right. And also, a three-hour tour. Why did Ginger pack all of those evening gowns?
Again, because it was just that they really made no effort. Honestly, they really, when you look at it, it's almost as if children wrote it.
And really, the professor was so bright, right? And he could make a radio out of coconuts, but he could not fix the hole in the boat.
And it was almost strategic. It was strategic in just how criminal it was. Because in the closing credits, they'd show you the boat. The boat's still there. It's got a hole in it.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, they got a radio with no battery that still goes through three seasons without dying. They got all these. They're able to build huts. They're able to come up with these all these elaborate things to be able to keep them going. Fix the hole in the boat. It's right there. It's on the shore. They could at least not show the boat and give you the suggestion that the boat sank. No, it's right there on the shore. Fix the damn boat. You know what?
Really,
they deserved it.
How did the Harlem Globetrotters show up and then not take them with them when they left?
No. Stars galore. Seriously. Michael, we could, right now, during the break, we could do a better show.
Interesting. All right, you've got a lot to unpack here, and we're giving away Ranger tickets as well. Stick around. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg is on vacation, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. We have Ranger tickets we're giving away. We have Buck Showalter we're giving away.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.